This is Andrew Womack, and on our programs this week, we are going to be playing some of the teaching that I did when I was in Heidelberg, South Africa. I was in a little tiny place that only had 7,000 people in the whole town, and there were 1,500 people that came to the meetings. We were under a big tent, and we had some great miracles happen too. And not only did miracles happen during the time that I was there, but we had a lot of people come and give testimony about how the teaching had set them free. We had one couple that has seen over 700 people healed since they got hold of this. They aren't pastors, they were just lay people in the church, but they started teaching on healing, have seen over 700 healed. We've had testimonies of a little baby being raised from the dead, heart attacks being healed, some great things. Maybe we'll even play some of those during these programs. But this is my teaching. It was taped in Heidelberg, South Africa during July of 2009. I believe it'll bless you, so listen and be blessed.
You can't be used of God. God won't use a dirty vessel. That's a phrase that I've heard all of my life. I want you to know God hadn't got any other kind of vessel to use. We're just in varying stages of being dirty. And somebody here might take offense and say, not me, I'm a holy. Give me a break. You know, if I had time and if I could talk to you personally, I could prove you aren't holy. I could prove it. I could start taking the Word of God and jabbing you and saying, do you do this and do you do this and do you do this? And I could go through all the rules and I guarantee you, sooner or later, I'd hit a nerve. I'd find something that you failed in. Nobody here is perfect. And when you get mad and punch me in the nose, that'd prove that you weren't perfect. None of us deserve the blessing of God. And see, this whole thing that you lose your salvation, or either you lose the blessings of God because you've got a sin in your life, you can't live that way. It's impossible. You cannot relate to God based on how holy you are. If I really believe that that was true, then the moment you got born again, I'd just kill you. I might go to hell, but that's the only way you'd ever get to heaven, is for me to just kill you while you're holy and pure and before you could mess it up. If you have to have every sin confessed, did you know that the Bible says that things that you do aren't only sin, but it says to him that knows to do good and doesn't do it, it's sin. So sin is not only the wrongs that you do, sin is the good that you are failing to do. The Bible says we're supposed to love our wife as Christ loved the church. There's not a man in here that does that consistently and never fails. The Bible says that the woman is supposed to reverence her husband, even as the church is supposed to reverence Christ. There's not a woman in here that reverences your husband that way. The Bible says that we're supposed to esteem others better than ourselves. We may do that occasionally, but we don't constantly do that. If you look at the things we're supposed to be doing and are failing to do, every one of us is failing. And if you think that you got to have every sin confessed before God will heal you or bless you or love you or anything, you're never going to get there. And this is where most Christians live. It's like having a carrot tied to a stick and the stick tied to your back, and it's out here in front of you, and you're always moving towards it, but every time you move, it moves. You never get there. You're always chasing after, I'm going to be better. I'm going to study more. I'm going to do better. And you're always going to do something. But the Christian life isn't about trying to obtain some standard. It's finding out that when you got born again, you were born righteous. You are now holy and pure in your spirit, and you've already got everything. You don't have to get God to love you. You don't have to get him to forgive you. You were forgiven once, cleansed of all sin. There's nothing you can do about it. God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. You can't make him love you more. You can't make him love you less. You can study the Word and find out that he loves you, and you can get more of it operative. You can get more benefit, but you can't make God love you more. He loves you based on who you are in the Spirit and not who you are in the flesh. Just for time's sake, man, I'm talking as fast as I can, and I'm not getting very far. But look down here, let's skip down to verse 20, 4, it says, "For Christ is not entered into the holy places which are made with hands, which are the figures of the true." That's talking about he didn't enter into the physical temple here on earth, but he went into heaven into the real temple that the physical temple was a picture and a shadow of. And so he didn't enter into the ones that are made with hands, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then, if he would have had to have offered himself every time you sin, then he must have often have suffered since the foundation of the world. If Jesus had to forgive sin, every individual sin, every time that a person sinned, there would be no, it'd be impossible. Just take the people that are in this tent. There's hundreds and hundreds of people in this tent. And again, if you count sin as not only what you're doing that's wrong, but what you're failing to do that's wrong, then every one of us sin multiple times a day. You just take the few hundred people that are in this tent and multiply that times 10, and it would be physically impossible for Jesus to constantly be cleansing us and forgiving us of all of this sin. And then you take that and multiply it times 6 billion people that are on the earth, and all of the people that are constantly bombarding him, and, "Oh God, I'm sorry, and please forgive me." Over here in Hebrews chapter 10, verse, I think, 12, it says he is seated on the Father's right hand, talking about that he's not up working. He's seated. It's finished. He says it's finished. The way that most people imagine that every time we sin, we got to go to God and get him to forgive it and reapply the blood, there would be no sitting down. He would be working constantly. He would constantly be shedding his blood. He would be paying for billions of people's sins every minute of every day. That's not what this is saying. It's saying he only did it once. And so going back to verse 26, "For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world." That's not the way it is now. It says in the middle part, it says, "But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Again, the emphasis is on the word once. Once he took sin. Once he bore sin. Once he entered into the holy place and obtained eternal redemption. In verse 27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Jesus paid for our sins one time. It's paid for. It's done. You don't have to get the blood reapplied. You did not lose any of your position with the Lord when you sin and when you fall short. You give Satan an inroad into your life, and so you still need to repent of it and turn away from it and quit doing it so that you can quit letting Satan just have a free shot at you. But God forgave you once. That is so powerful. If you could understand that, it would radically change your relationship with God. Most Christians' prayer life is 80 or 90%. "Oh, God, forgive me. Oh, God, forgive me. God, I did it again. God, help me to overcome this. Oh, Lord, I'm so unworthy. I promise you I'm going to do this." It's all about sin. It's all around sin. We approach him in the flesh instead of in the spirit. If you approach him in the spirit, you would be, "Thank you that I'm the righteousness of God, that I'm created righteous and holy. Thank you that I'm a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things are become new. Thank you that as Jesus is, that's the way that I am." That's the way you'd approach him if you're in the spirit. Boy, this is good news. Just for time's sake, let me just skip through and make a couple of other points. I'm not going to keep you forever. At the end of verse 2, the benefit of us knowing this, it says at the end of verse 2 that we should have no more conscience of sin. Did you know that that is not only not working in most Christians' life, most Christians think that's ungodly. Most Christians think that going around with a sin consciousness, and "I'm just unworthy. Oh God, I don't deserve anything." We think that that's good. We emulate that. We model that and think, oh, what a godly person. The Scripture says if you could understand this and if you walked in the Spirit, you should not even have any sin consciousness. You shouldn't even have any awareness of sin. Not only have most Christians not obtained that, most think that's terrible. And yet this is saying, this is the benefit of understanding that you've been purged once for all. You shouldn't even be sin conscious. You shouldn't be thinking about how sorry you are. Amen. Somebody's saying, if I was to do that, man, sin would just overwhelm me. I'm constantly reining it in and thinking about how ungodly I am, and that's the only way I'm able to control myself. It's just the opposite. If you were to see yourself in Christ, the Bible says, Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you would see yourself in Christ and see yourself with joy and peace and love and see what God has done, you would love him so much that love would constrain you to live holier accidentally than you've ever lived on purpose before. You would wind up just living holy as a byproduct. I could preach a whole message on that one. But let me go on down to verse 10. Look at this. It's talking about Jesus died and put his will into effect for us. And in verse 10 it says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. The emphasis again is once. You are sanctified. The word sanctified means to make holy or to separate. You are sanctified in your spirit. You were created in righteousness and true holiness, and that one sacrifice made you holy forever. Forever. Not until the next time you sin. Forever. Your spirit is constantly pure. Your spirit never fluctuates. It's never defiled by any negative thing that you do.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the almost too good to be true news of the gospel. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 South Africa Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM238 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The second CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the second teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111. Or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
These truths that I'm sharing today, I tell you, they need to be heard all over the world, and I'm doing what I can. You know, we now have the potential of reaching 2.2 billion people daily with this gospel truth broadcast. We're only on one time a day in most places. We need to be on multiple times per day for saturation. There's a lot more that could be done, but it just costs a lot of money. We now spend over $600,000, it's closer actually to $1 million a month on television and radio airtime, and we need to be expanding. So I ask you that if you've been blessed and if you want to help me get this truth out, please join with us and become a partner today.